Good morning. Just after 8 o'clock, you are listening to Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM and 1340 AM, flagship station of the Vegas Golden Knights. I'm Brian Feldman, and this is Out of Line. We are here every Sunday, same time, live in the Fox Sports Cardinal Financial Studio in Las Vegas. The we, once again, includes Caleb Herring, former UNLV quarterback and currently serving as the radio color voice for UNLV football on our sister station, ESPN The Leader. Also here, filling in for the vacationing Chris Magnum Chapman, and manning the big board is producer Nick Nice. And last but certainly not least, the man who receives weekly nicknames, Jose Sudden Death, Let Me Do What's On Tap, Vellante. We're also streaming. We are also streaming on the LV Sports Network, and you can watch the show on Facebook Live. The page is called Out of Line. That's OUTTALINE. We welcome your calls. The Fox Sports Cardinal Financial Studio line is 702-876-1340.
Hi, this is Bubby, and it's time for What's on Tap.
That's right, it's What's on Tap, and I am Jose Sendeth Volonte. What's on Tap is sponsored by our title sponsor, the Cardinal Financial Company, the first and only choice when looking for answers about home financing. Check out cardinalfinancial.com. On tap this fine morning, nightcap. Subban stays blazing, a historical match that started almost 2 hours ago. You should know what we're talking about there. Fact, this is about the first place Las Vegas Aces. Can they finally get some love here? Plus, the Aviators report, as we do every single Sunday. And this one's going to be good here. Former NFL Sporting News Defensive Player of the Year, Albert Haynesworth, desperately needs help. After the first break, Albert will be joining the show to talk about what will it take to save his life. Oh, man, that's going to be tough. What's on tap? Thanks to Cardinal Financial Company, the first and only choice. When looking for answers about home financing, check out cardinalfinancial.com.
Hockey players, as you know, are warriors. They don't give up. They come to play every game.
It's time for Nightcap, a cup full of the Vegas Golden Knights. From highlights to interviews to special events, the puck starts here.
As expected, the Vegas Golden Knights signed Malcolm Subban to a one-year contract through the 2019-2020 season worth an average annual value of $850,000. Last week, Subban became the only Vegas Golden Knight to file for arbitration. They got him to sign at a little less than I thought he would sign for. I thought he'd get that initial contract of $850,000, a bargain for the Vegas Golden Knights backup goaltender. And speaking of goaltenders, how about Make-A-Wish and ESPN? They've teamed up for the 14th consecutive year for the annual it's called the My Wish series, and it's intended to showcase life-changing wishes for children with critical illnesses. That includes Doran, a local wish kid from Vegas. Doran is 13 years old with lymphoma, who wished to meet Marc-Andre Fleury of the Vegas Golden Knights. Doran's wish is one of five inspirational sports stories in the summertime series on SportsCenter presented by Dove Men Plus Care. That episode will debut on ESPN this Wednesday night. And just way cool. Marc-Andre Fleury, something else we get to see this guy do. It is incredible that in like 2 years, the guy pretty much has the keys to Las Vegas. I mean, he is, you know, I mean, Wayne Newton is Mr. Las Vegas.
Yo, man.
But Marc-Andre Fleury is making a bid.
Yeah, he's up there. And I think it shows the power of success in sports in any town. I think Las Vegas, if you have success in sports, you'll get fans in Vegas quickly. And that's what Fleury's learning right now. He has a huge fan base in Vegas. He's number one out here. The Make-A-Wish deal, that's awesome. I mean, the power of sports in lives and the ability to change lives based on the celebrity status you gain through sports is unmatched. It's crazy how kids look up to, especially when they're in situations like this, when they look up to and how it brightens their day just to have their favorite sports star come visit them. I wasn't a part of Make-A-Wish before, and I was never on a mega stage like Fleury is, but even at the lowly UNLV ranks of college football, it was like when you as an athlete come and you're just this kid's role model, and the ability to come and affect their life like that and in such a dire situation, it's awesome. And I think Fleury being able to take advantage of it, ESPN and Make-A-Wish highlighting that for 14 consecutive years and doing this project is unbelievable. It's incredible. I'm glad they do it. And I'm glad they keep doing it because it does help to brighten a young one's day.
Oh, dude, I'll tell you, and I'll be straight up with you. I have watched some of those segments, man, and I've blown tears.
Yeah.
I mean, I seriously cried.
And if you haven't, you have no soul.
Yeah, probably.
Like it's like you can't help but get emotional for these, especially with the kids, the young kids that just look so innocent and just helpless, and the way they light up when they see their favorite star, their hockey star, come through before he walks through the door. I can't wait to see it.
It's truly unbelievable. It really is. These kids, the inspiration, we've seen it as far back as the fabled Babe Ruth story where he went in and called his shot to hit a home run for a kid with cancer in a hospital. Yep. And it is amazing that it's literally a difference maker, because they say a lot with medical, especially when you get to certain diseases, it's just mind over matter.
Absolutely.
At some point in time.
Absolutely.
And, you know, these kids get saved to a degree, or the quality of the end of their life because of something like this is unbelievable, man. And Marc-Andre Fleury, I mean, the perfect guy. I mean, truly, you look back on it, and as good of a goaltender as he has been, and no question that initial run in the inaugural season was in great part to the way the guy played, but as good of a player is, he's a better person. And you just don't see that. I mean, I've been covering pro sports and sports in general since the early 90s, Caleb.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, brother, there are not, I'm going to say, a lot of great people in sports. There's a lot of great people in the world. But what I mean by that is professional athletes especially, and you played in college, you see this, there's an entitlement that comes along with it. And all of a sudden, it's kind of like you're above the rest. And a guy like Marc-Andre Fleury would be one of those guys you would feel deserve to have that entitlement. Because there are guys that play so well and have done well for so long that, to a degree, it's like, man, don't criticize them when you're not in their shoes.
Right.
And you don't realize what that kind of popularity brings and how it can make you bitter and get tired. Fleury just never seems to turn off the happy switch.
No.
And I don't know how he does it. I don't.
It's a special quality, like you said, it's professional athletes especially, because you have to have a certain level of confidence. It is an accomplishment to be a professional athlete and to have made it, to achieve the pinnacle of success in your sport, in your field, in any field, lawyers, doctors, whatever the case may be, but especially professional athletes, because the odds are so stacked against you your whole career. And to make it, you have to have a certain air of confidence. It's only human to do it. So it takes kind of a, I almost want to say, a supernatural, superhuman ability to remain humble in that situation. And the ones that do, the ones that are able to do it, like Fleury is, who have that humble streak across them, at the same time being dominant in their sport, it's special. And it resonates with the communities in a special way, because it's hard to not be a jerk, an arrogant asshole.
Yeah.
When you are the best at what you do, you know, it takes a special kind of person to be able to do that. So hats off to the ones that do it well.
And Fleury as good as anybody. And it's a good segue when you talk about the top of their sport and all that. And we're going to get into Blazing in 1 second. But I do want to say one other thing for Nightcap. How about Bill Foley? You talk about what success breeds. He's looking at putting a special Las Vegas or Vegas Golden Knights hangar in the Henderson Airport just for them, a special runway, everything. I mean, that's what success does. A couple of years ago, I'm sure in the back of his head, he was worried about how am I going to stay profitable over the course of a few seasons, because you know the initial season, you're going to have that interest and people wanting to see it, but to remain profitable, what the Knights have done in their first two seasons, to me, has ensured they're going to remain profitable for the next decade plus. So why not put a hangar in the Henderson Airport and give them their own place to land? I think it's real cool. But again, you were talking about the top of their sport, and that definitely leads to Blazing. This is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot. Yeah, Blazing is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, 215 in North Durango in the Montecito Crossing Plaza. We'll say it is a big forehand away from Centennial Hills Hospital.
I see what you did there.
You like it?
I see what you did there.
You smell what I'm stepping in, right?
I do.
All right.
As long as you're not an earthquake, we're good.
Not yet. I might still be. Maybe I'll be a hurricane next time. But, they've got two happy hours every day. It is America's favorite place for wings, beer, and sports. And we are going to be up there. I'll be up there every Monday night. I'll be dragging Jose, Magna, maybe Nick Nice, and of course Caleb Herring along with me as as often as I can. But Monday night, man, we start up the best Monday night football parties in town. We give away replica jerseys. We give away wing parties. And we have a great time up there. It's every Monday night at Buffalo Wild Wings as soon as football season rolls around. So come on up and join us. And today's Wimbledon final that started a couple of hours ago, Roger Federer coming off a huge win in the semis over arch rival Rafael Nadal, and he's taken on Novak Djokovic for the fourth time. They've played each other at Wimbledon. Djokovic has won two. Federer has won one. This is an incredible series. After Djokovic took the first set at Wimbledon, they of course it went to extended time,
yep.
And he wins it 7-6 in an unbelievable first match. Federer turns right around and kicks his ass in the second set, and now they're in a third set. It looks like he might be going to tie break as well. It's getting really close to the end of that set. We're on commercial break right now. I think that's going on ESPN or ESPN2, one of the two of them. But I will tell you, unbelievable this set. If you look at it, you know, it's pretty wild. There's, you know, you always find ironies. Federer turned pro 21 years ago, and he's going for his 21st Grand Slam title.
Unbelievable.
And Djokovic turned pro 16 years ago, and he's going for his 16th Grand Slam title, meaning they average winning a Grand Slam title or one Grand Slam event every year. That is just unheard of. It's hard to say Roger Federer is not the greatest tennis player in the history of the game. I mean, right now you might argue that Djokovic, when they're both at the top of their game, Djokovic is 5 years younger. He just turned 32 on May 22nd. Yeah. Federer will be 38 in a couple weeks in August. And overall, the 25 wins overall versus 22 wins, and this is against head-to-head, 9 wins in majors, or I should say against each other in Grand Slam events. Federer's beaten him 6 times, and again, this is the fourth time they've played at Wimbledon. Djokovic was -195 in the match, obviously favored to win, but don't ever count out Roger Federer.
My
I'm
sorry. The 26 shot rally just went down right now, and it was unbelievable. Like, just the level of talk about top of your sport. These two right now are just putting on a show. And if you're not a fan of tennis, and for whatever reason, you need to start. It takes a lot of skill when you watch it, and it's fun to watch. It actually
does
really
it remind
is
you of
exciting
Agassi
to watch.
Sampras days?
I don't even know if I would say that, but I think Federer is the top of the game ever. There's no. If you talk about male dominance, I think obviously Serena Williams and her stint.
I want you to chime in, Nick, but I want to ask all of you to see if you guys know the answer to this question. There is one thing. Roger Federer has broken about every record in tennis, as you know. Every Grand Slam, and he's only won the French once. Every other event, he's won multiple times. Tough with how good Rafi is on clay court. He's as good as it is. But what has, and I want to hear Nick first, but then you guys can answer the question. What's Roger Federer not done yet that he can do in this tournament he's never done in his career and he can do today? And I'll ask you that question. What's up, man?
I'm guessing it's take out the number one and number three.
No, he's done that. It's something similar. No, but it's the players that he hasn't taken out. He has never in the same tournament taken out
You were supposed to ask us.
Okay, no. Now you know.
Now I know.
Now
he's
you know.
Never taken out Nadal and Djokovic in the same.
Thanks, Brian.
Yeah. I gave it away.
Go back to being an earthquake.
I gave it away. Right. Hold on. Let me go again. Pretty damn impressive that he's never done that.
Yeah.
And you would have thought that was something he would have done 5 or 6 years ago. Not at 38 years old.
No.
When both of those guys are playing as good as they can, and Nadal coming off of another huge win at the French, this is pretty impressive.
Just wanted to make the back up, if you will, get a second on Caleb's. I don't really watch tennis for nothing. I mean, I'm one of those guys who you appreciate Nadal when they do the things they do, and Federer and Djokovic and Serena, of course. But when you have this level of competition, especially even Federer versus Nadal, did you watch that one too?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was a great
unbelievable
match.
Unbelievable.
So when you get to this level of competition of ping pong, table tennis, whatever it is, they had What's that beanbag tossing?
Yeah,
cornhole. Did you see that shot?
The most amazing cornhole shot ever.
Yeah, that's what I said.
That guy's my partner at Gold Spike. He's my partner at Gold Spike forever now. That was the most amazing cornhole shot I've ever seen.
Yeah.
So
anytime you get to the level of competition, basically is what I'm saying, that we're watching here, it's worth watching.
Guys, I just have to appreciate it. I want to leave it at this, though. And I agree with you guys 100%. I have watched, all of a sudden, I'm watching Sundays, and I'll turn on ESPN, and it is the National Championship of Bowling, and I remember I'll sit there and watch Guppy Troop go for his championship. I mean, I'm sick like that, but it's hard. And it was exciting watching that yesterday, Nick, but for some reason, being a professional cornhole player just doesn't sound like something I would want on my resume. Now, Caleb, you might disagree with me there, but I mean, do I really want to say I was the number one cornhole player in the world?
You got to be number one at something, man. Yeah, depends on the paycheck that comes with.
There might be a lucrative.
How many
there.
People are going to shoot you when you tell them that don't know what the hell cornhole is? Like, dude, really? Get the hell away from me!
Oh,
you
my
know,
goodness.
I'm just saying.
So you'd rather be a bar legend, a street park legend at cornhole, but not like number one professionally.
As cool as it is to be a champion, I'd rather be a national badminton champion than a cornhole champion.
Stop
just
it.
Because
that's pretty low there.
Draw the line at badminton.
Okay, badminton's a little scary. I'm just saying. So, I want to make sure again. Yeah, if you want to give us a call at 702-876-1340 and check it out. But there's no question that Blazin, this tournament, these players, tennis in general, when this is the Super Bowl of tennis, Wimbledon, it's like certain events, Caleb, you just watch.
Yeah, it's a part
the
of
Super
history.
Super Bowl, you might not like football, but you're watching the Super Bowl. The World Series, Game 7, you might not like baseball, but you're going to watch Game 7 of any sport. And it's the same thing with these awesome events. I don't know how. I understand a lot of people don't like golf. It's a hard sport to watch on television. But if you didn't watch the Masters this year and Tiger Woods
marching up to 18,
you missed something that I can't tell you how great it was to watch.
It's one of those moments like the Cubs winning the World Series. Like, where were you when this happened? And if it happened in your lifetime and you didn't see it and you missed one of those moments, shame on you. Like Tiger marching up to the 18th to win that Masters, it was like chills up your spine because nobody thought he'd get back. And, you know, it's like see him get back. The Cubs winning the World Series, like, how many people went lifetimes without seeing that?
I agree.
And to see it the way it happened was, like, unforgettable. I mean, so these moments in sports, you got two of the greatest tennis players, 1 and 2 right now, currently 1 and 2, and of all time, debatably, 1 and 2 of all time, greatest tennis players. There's going to be some historic moments that happen throughout this match. And if you are living now and you're
a sports fan and you
didn't watch it and you missed it for some reason, shame on you.
They're in their second tiebreaker in the third set right now. It's one set apiece. This is unbelievable. And you're right. In sports, there are so many of these chances to see iconic moments, and you've got one right now. There's never a regret. The only regret of an iconic moment that I watched, that I was thrilled that I watched, that right now I go back and I think I wasted hours of my time. And that was watching Lance Armstrong win.
Is that because he cheated now? Like, we found out that he cheated?
Did he just feel abused? He lied, dude.
Yeah.
Cheated and lied. And not only that, threatened his friends by saying, "Do you know who I am? I'll destroy you if you ever even met." He is one of the biggest pariahs and scumbags in the history of professional sports.
My goodness.
To consider that he came through and he got through testicular cancer and preached about it and talked about it and did motivational speeches, and then he's using the same drugs that cause cancer and it's repulsive. It truly is, man. And again, that's one of the rare times.
Need to take a shower now after you described that to me. I feel gross.
Right? I mean, right.
That's repulsive. He's disgusting.
He feels like a cornhole champion.
Of the earth.
Oh, my God.
He feels like a All right. Well, that being said, let's move on. And, I will say this. And, again, we're speaking about blazing and something else that's blazing here in Las Vegas. How about the Las Vegas Aces?
together.
Facts this. If you don't like the facts, take your ass back to bed. Fact this.
Yeah, it's a fact. After yesterday's win over the Washington Mystics, the Las Vegas Aces have won 5 straight games and are now in first place in the WNBA's Western Conference, 2 games clear of the Minnesota Lynx. This shouldn't be a surprise to anyone because it was expected when the Aces got Jackie Young with the first overall pick in last year's draft and when they picked up Liz Campage prior to the start of the season. They already have the future face of the WNBA in superstar Asia Wilson. This is a team to start watching, and everything we thought they would be, they are. Bill Laimbeer, you know, I said it a little bit ago. I said it a few seasons ago watching him coach in the WNBA. He's one guy that I really think could make the jump to the NBA. I think, you know, because I think NBA players, there's a certain respect factor. I don't think any NBA player, knowing a Bill Laimbeer, his history, his success, wouldn't respect this guy. And Laimbeer is definitely mellowed. He's a much jollier soul than he was back when he spit chicken wings all over my face.
Oh.
But you know
you
what?
I haven't heard that story. We'll tell it later.
Later on. Great story. You know what? Even though... You know, he has mellowed. I still think Bill Laimbeer would not take much crap.
No, I don't think he would. The only reason I wouldn't say he'd make the jump to the NBA is because I think there would be a different level of intensity when coaching a locker room full of men. Just got to watch what you say nowadays because you'd be accused of being sexist at every turn. But there's a difference between a men's locker room and a women's locker room. So I think there's a different side of Laimbeer that may be dormant right now. But that jerk will come back out, I think, if he's in a locker room full of men and trying to entice that kind of intensity from a locker room full of guys. I don't think the NBA rules as they are currently constructed will allow for his style of NBA play anymore. But I would love to see it. I would love to have him get a hold of, let's say he was like an assistant coach for the Clippers right now with their defensive prowess and like their personnel. Could you imagine Laimbeer in Patrick Beverley's ear, like riling him up? Like getting him ready to go for a game.
Oh, man.
That would be unleashing. Who let the dogs out? Like, that would be crazy.
No, 100%. I can't see Bill Laimbeer coexisting with a Jimmy Butler.
Ah, yeah.
I mean that would just
be. The egos now in the NBA are a little bit too high.
Just a little bit too much. The bottom line is I think the coach in the NBA, I don't even know what you do because even the weed-smoking Zen master couldn't figure it out nowadays when like he could in the Jordan days.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, it is
you're
tough to coach.
A different level
and I mean, without question, I mean, you know, arguably, and I don't think anyone, you know, you've got to put Greg Popovich in as one of the greatest coaches of all time.
Although
right?
he did really drop the ball with Kawhi.
I was just going to say, yeah. He couldn't. And Kawhi Leonard is not an egomaniac.
No.
I mean, considering his talent level and his ability and where he's at right now in NBA hierarchy, I mean, how do you not get along with this guy? And Popovich knows better. I mean, he has definitely managed some quirky personalities, but he couldn't get along with Kawhi Leonard.
And you know what? The thing about Kawhi, I don't want to say for sure that he's not arrogant or that he's not he's just not the typical version of arrogant. Usually the arrogant guys are the front runners and they're loud and they're boisterous about what they have to say. Kawhi may be egotistic. We don't know because he doesn't say much, but he's just to himself about it. And it's different, so you don't really know what's going on in his head. It's almost more dangerous. But I wouldn't say that Kawhi's that guy. I'm not going to put him in that box, but it was a colossal mess up. The first one that I can remember of the San Antonio Spurs organization with him, letting him slip through their fingers.
Yeah, in
but,
a while. I mean,
yeah, they've really managed superstars. And maybe it's just they've had the perfect pairing of personality traits.
Well, and they've been the New England Patriots of the NBA
absolutely.
For the last decade, and all of a sudden, they've kind of fallen off the chart. The master of plug and play in the NBA has disappeared.
Yeah.
And, you know, Popovich, the guy, I never like saying, especially with a coach, the game has passed them by. But at times, it just seems like maybe it's time for Greg Popovich right now, while he is still cemented as one of the greatest coaches of all time, to ride off into the sunset. Something Eli Manning should have done after his last Super Bowl, and he'd be in the Hall of Fame. Listen, we got to take a break. We still got on the other side. We are going to have Albert Haynesworth. I'm looking really forward to talking to him. Albert has a desperate need right now. You're going to hear about it, I believe, on Good Morning America. A few other shows coming up here soon. He's going to be joining us after the break. We're also going to talk about the Las Vegas Aviators' upcoming game. And NBA Summer League, man, wrapping up tomorrow. You got the semis today, and it'll wrap up tomorrow at the Thomas and Mack Center. This is Out of Line. I'm Brian Feldman. I'm here with Caleb Herring, Jose Sudden Death Vellante, producer Nick Nice. We're here every single Sunday, and we'll be back. AM, 98.9 FM, Fox Sports Radio, Las Vegas. I'm Brian Feldman. This is Out of Line here in studio with Caleb Herring, former quarterback at UNLV, the current color voice of the football rebels here in Las Vegas. I've got Jose Sudden Death. Let me do What's on Tap, Vellante.
That's my favorite one.
I got a laugh out of Caleb earlier. I had to go for it again. Of course, we got Nick Nice, man in the wheels of steel back here, working the television sets for us. And I'll tell you what, man, during break, it was hard to keep, I'm texting and stuff, but also hard to keep my eyes off of the television set. This is one hell of a match, and Djokovic came back to take the second set in tiebreak, and right now it's 2-1 in favor of Novak Djokovic. But I'll tell you right now, man, do not count Roger Federer out. That is the quiet assassin approaching his 40s and playing as good tennis as guys in their prime. I mean, this dude is truly a freak of nature.
If nothing else, turn this on and just fan watch for a little bit, because there's some absolute stunning style going on in the audience there. I've wanted to master this look, and I don't have the courage to step out of my element and try it, but the top hat, the tennis match attendance look is dope to me.
Well, it really is. It's more dope. Wimbledon. Yeah. I would say behind the Kentucky Derby, Wimbledon probably has the most interesting dress situation for people that attend the matches there. It's like, at the Kentucky Derby, the women have to wear the style of hats. You got to have a mint julep. And it kind of drives me nuts. It's a horse race.
Yeah.
But here at Wimbledon, it is like who can outdo who. Yeah. Because I think to get a seat in that stadium, you got to know somebody.
You absolutely have to. I wonder what the tickets go for. I didn't even want to wonder because I can't afford it. But no, it's a great match. It's like you said, it's the pinnacle of the sport right now. Two of the best to ever do it, and two of the best that are doing it right now. It's not often that happens after such long careers, that you've been the best of all time, the GOAT, so to speak, and at the end of your career, you're still the GOAT.
It's
very rare.
Brady,
so,
too.
Brady's one of them. I mean, he's got some young guns coming for him, but these two right now are going at it.
We got one in studio. Jose Sudden Death, let me do What's on Tap, Vellante, is one of the top Modelo drinkers in the country. I don't think people know that now.
Sponsorship, baby. Let's throw it out there. You know what I mean?
There is not somebody
you
that
called it 8 a.m. Tijuana. I'm already five beers deep, baby.
Five Modelos deep.
I'm not afraid.
I would like to challenge that guy.
Challenge. But is it Modelo? You're with Modelo, too?
Oh, heck yeah.
Oh, there look at go. This.
Oh, yeah. See,
I'm more of a Corona, maybe Dos Equis type of guy, you know?
I
mean, Modelo, you know, I have one once in a while. You know, I told you before, I'm a foo-foo drink guy. But, I mean, hey, it is what it
Vodka
is.
Vodka tonic, right? Isn't that your favorite drink?
Give me an umbrella, a pineapple, and a cherry.
If it doesn't have salt on the rim, I won't drink it.
No, I'll do cinnamon sugar.
Cinnamon sugar.
Oh, man. Hey, listen, I wanted to give a shout-out to Albert Hainsworth. I told you we were going to have him on the show today. I got a text message during break that he is not doing well. So let me inform you on what's going on with Albert Hainsworth. Of course, Albert Hainsworth, a former 10-year NFL veteran, drafted in the first round, 15th overall pick by the Tennessee Titans years ago, out of the University of Tennessee, an unbelievable, dominating defensive lineman, 2008 Sporting News Defensive Player of the Year, two-time Pro Bowler. The guy did everything but win a playoff game when he was with the Tennessee Titans, the Washington Redskins, the Carolina Panthers, and one other team. But Albert Hainsworth, 3 years out of the league. He's been out of the league only 7 years now. I think this is his eighth year in retirement.
Yeah.
And he's already had a brain problem. He had a brain aneurysm that they had to correct after football, 3 years out of the league. He gets past that, which nearly killed him. And this past Sunday, a week ago, on July the 7th, his kidneys failed completely. And Albert is on 100% permanent dialysis. He's not in the hospital. He is at home right now. And he is in dire and desperate need of a kidney. And I mean, this is about as serious as it gets. And I just want to tell you, I know it is the university. You can call Vanderbilt Medical Center University. And I think, let me see if I can find a number here for you. If not, I'll get one before the end of the show. But there are people that are reaching out and looking to donate. And, you know, the bottom line is, when it comes to something like this, Caleb, like donating an organ. Now, granted, we have two kidneys, and it is a proven fact you can live a long, normal life on one working kidney.
Right.
Fact.
Yeah.
However, when you think about it, do you want to live a life on one kidney? I mean, let's be honest.
It's tough to say because you don't know what life with one kidney feels like.
You know, well, the thing is, I know, Caleb. If we're talking about your wife, your son,
your family. No doubt. No brainer.
I was going to tell you, my mother years ago, rest her soul, before she passed away in 2015, she had open heart surgery back in 2012. And about a year after that, they were saying because of the medications and stuff, she was having some kidney issues, right?
Right, right.
And I was a perfect match for my mom, and I was talked to about it, and they said, you know, we're doing all these things, but eventually she may need a kidney. And I got to tell you, man, I almost lost a year of my life bumming out about it. I mean, just straight.
Yeah. No.
I was 100%. Giving her my kidney. There was no question 100%. She was getting my kidney.
Right.
But it sucked. It sucked being me thinking, number one, I got to go through all this pain and rehabilitation when I don't have any problems.
Right.
Okay, because you're going to, don't think they're just going to cut out your kidney and you go to work the next day. Okay, that's not the way it happens. You're going through rehabilitation like you just lost a faulty kidney.
Right.
And now if something happens to your one kidney by any chance, you're in a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
So these are the risks that you take, and especially when you get a guy, you know, my age in his late 20s that's going to give up something. What happened?
Hey, you know what? I think that earthquake did affect you a little bit, right?
Must have got hit by a falling paper plate or something.
but no, seriously, you know, but my point is that
it's a tough decision.
It is a huge decision, and to think that over 1,000 people now have contacted Vanderbilt Medical Center inquiring on whether they can potentially help Albert Haynesworth is a credit to society, and sometimes maybe I don't give society enough credit. I was kind of surprised because it's only been a week, and you're talking about 1,000 people reaching out. Now, no offense to Albert. Albert's a big name. If you know sports and you know professional football, you can't say you know the history of football because he's not even a decade removed from the league if you don't know who Albert Haynesworth
is.
One
of the biggest contracts ever
at that time.
Gigantic contract, and anyone that played offensive tackle in the National Football League during his reign will tell you exactly who Albert Haynesworth was.
You probably have a pending lawsuit for assault based on the things that he did.
And you might, and probably when you're getting diagnosed for CTE later in your career, it'll be one of his head slaps that helped get you there. I mean, that is how good the guy was at playing defensive end in the National Football League. However, right now, this guy is in need, and people are reaching out. My point is, 1,000 people. I would understand if it was Joe Montana. Right. Even Joe Willie Namath, somebody who is an American icon.
Right.
But Albert Haynesworth, that really gives me hope and faith in humanity again that many people are reaching out. Let's hope this guy gets a kidney. You can get in touch again if you have any interest in helping out, and I hope that you do. You can get in touch with the Vanderbilt Medical Center. That is where they're going to be performing the surgery, one of the prominent transplant surgery facilities in the country, and they're going to be taking care of him. Dr. Forbes, I believe, is his doctor. Man, it would be really cool. Hopefully, I'll be able to get Albert on the show next week. I'm going to work with him on that. He was looking forward to coming on this morning, and like I said, I did get the text message right before the break ended, let me know that he just wasn't going to be able to do it today. So again, Albert, man, wish you well, brother. I know all of us here definitely feel for you. And man, when you see something like this, you know, a guy that's healthy, that was a professional athlete, and the guy is still young.
I mean, it's
just like, you know, you count your blessings on everything like this, because just think of this poor guy, you know, 9 years ago could move the earth.
Yeah.
And right now is just trying to buy some more time on the earth.
It's absolutely heartbreaking. I mean, I know there's thousands of people that go through this similar situation every day who don't have the notoriety of an Albert Haynesworth. No doubt. Obviously, anybody who's going through a similar situation, thoughts and prayers out to you. But it does strike a chord when somebody, especially in the sport that you played or in the realm of life that you move in, the circle of life that you move in, is affected by it in such a way. And like you said, the I don't want to call it a fall from grace, but a fall off this hard. You know, you go 8 years removed and not just one major failure of the body. It's like he mentioned it in one of his in his books that his body's failed him twice now. It's like, you know, with the brain issues and the cognitive issues that went on and having to deal with that and thinking you're out of the woods and then all of a sudden your kidneys shut down. And these are things that just aren't fixable. You know, it's not like you can do something about the kidney once it goes. It's gone, you know. So thoughts and prayers to him and his family and what he's going through. And I'm sure there's a lot of this going on in his mind. You know, the thoughts that are coming up for us, just imagine going from, in his mind, the lifestyle he had, hundreds of millions of dollars, and none of that meaning anything now. You know, you do so much to build up a career and success for your family and wealth and whatever you want to do, whatever you want to call it. And then to be put into a position like this where you're at the mercy of some generous charitable donor, it's got to be heartbreaking. It's got to be one of the toughest things he's had to deal with. And I you know, thoughts and prayers out to him, like I said, but man, you just hope the best for a guy like that.
No, you really do. And I mean, it's like, you know, you feel invincible when you are at that level of athletics, mm-hmm. and you just think something so, you know, your head and just all these things, it really is crazy, man. And I wish him nothing but the best. And, you know, Caleb, you hear about this, it's like just constantly, and there's so many players that only play for 2 or 3 years in the NFL that still had a million hits to their head when you go back high school and college we don't even talk about that are experiencing complications due to CTE. Does it ever, you know, I know desperately at the end of you got done playing and, you know, you got a chance to try out with the Indianapolis Colts. And I know that was a huge part of your mindset is, man, if I could just get a shot to continue to play this game, how cool it would be.
Yeah.
But looking at all this now, do you think maybe that you had a little divine intervention and God was looking out for you and maybe kept you just below the NFL talent level so you could live a long, healthy life?
You know what? I never thought of it in that context that it was. But I do look at the benefits of what happened in my life. And it's just an attitude of gratitude for your situation and loving yours, like J. Cole would say. I love mine at this point. And I do think of maybe I did dodge a bullet. And, you know, I look at some former NFL players and, you know, when you see them on TV when there's these big get-togethers of former NFL players or Hall of Famers even, when they're walking across stages or walking around, and it just looks painful. You know, not even CTE. Maybe the mind's fine. But the body's just worn down. And I think that's part of the thing.
It's something. It's, you're not getting out of that sport unscathed.
You're not. It's
impossible.
I've seen very little, if any. I can't even off the top of my head think of anybody that I can look at today and say they're not somewhat affected in their later life.
Well, anybody. I mean, it's almost as soon as you get beyond high school level, if you play beyond that and you see significant field time in almost any sport,
right,
you're going to feel something probably for the rest of your life in some area.
Without
and I look
doubt.
At you, how smart you are, and I think, God, how much smarter would he have been if he didn't play football?
Oh,
I don't know.
I'd probably be the Black Einstein. It'd be crazy. Seriously. I don't even know.
I mean, seriously, you think of how many marbles fell out that would still be there.
Yeah.
No, but
you're on a roll today, aren't you? You're just going.
Yeah. Rattling them off.
He's got the one-liners all day.
Come on, Jose, I have not even brought up Bobby Houck once yet today.
Jesus. There's the once. It took us 2 weeks. You have to bring it up.
Oh my goodness! Yeah,
It's like that old thing. The bottom line is, what do magicians still do? What's still one of their favorite tricks? They still pull rabbits out of hats. So why should I go away from something that's been working for centuries? Right.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, we're going to go to break. We're going to come back. I want to tell you about the Las Vegas Aviators coming up. They've got some promotions, and Caleb Herring is making his debut at the Las Vegas ballpark tomorrow night. He'll be signing autographs out front. I'm just kidding. Also, I want to talk a little bit about NBA Summer League. Taco Falls, man, a huge hero there. And the bottom line is, when I say hero, he's one of the fan favorites. And it's hard to miss the guy because he's the only guy in the history of the Thomas and Mac that when he walks across the floor, he hits his head on the scoreboard. We'll be right back. This is Out of Line. Fox Sports Radio, Out of Line. 8 to 9 every Sunday morning. We are right here in the Fox Sports Cardinal Financial Studios. If you want to get involved, give us a call, 702-876-1340. I'm Brian Feldman. To my left on your radio dial, former UNLV quarterback Caleb Herring. To my right, should I say it again, man? I mean, you want to hear everyone laughing one more time? Jose, I want to be sudden death Vellante? No, that's not it.
You ruined it.
What if I just combine two nicknames I'm trying to abbreviate?
No, just do them all.
Okay.
It's funny when you do them
Jose,
all.
Jose, sudden just death. I want to be what's on tap, or I want to do what's on tap Vellante. There we go. Happy with the Yankees hat on.
Where's my modelo at?
It's coming after work. You ain't getting through Sunday.
It's already at home waiting.
100%.
Nice and chill.
100%. But Nick Nice wants to challenge you as the Modelo champion of the country. We'll see. Maybe we'll have a Modelo off.
That would be great.
You know, that sounds good.
Get it sponsored by Modelo. Yeah, why not?
Maybe we'll get it sponsored.
Modelo models in here.
We'll have a Modelo off, and whoever loses, whoa, Caleb stabs with one of his new knives.
And he'll get away with it.
The stakes are high.
It only took 372 days, but he's got his knives. They're here.
You know, Mike Vrabel talks about cutting his Johnson off to win a Super Bowl ring, so there you go.
That guy's out of his mind.
Why not?
And
if you don't want to cut your Johnson off, you can always call Lorena Bobbitt. She'll take care of it for you.
And throw it out of the window.
Give me one of those. Okay. He's been on a friend of mine show a few times, John Wayne Bobbitt, a very, very... I was going to say.
Don't do it.
I won't say it.
Okay, there you go. I saved it. I saved you all.
I'll just give you the title of the movie. It's called Frankenpenis. Check it out. All right. Anyways, the Las Vegas Aviators report brought to you by the Las Vegas Aviators playing at the brand new number one AAA ballpark in the country, the Las Vegas ballpark, and that's up in downtown Summerlin. If you haven't been there, and I lied, Caleb won't be there tomorrow night. If you go to get his autograph, you won't. You'll have to find him tonight. Y'all just go up to the studio and have him announce his name or something. But anyways, they are playing the Salt Lake Bees. Very good call, by the way, Caleb. That's tonight at 7:05 this evening. It is Sunday family night at the Las Vegas ballpark. And if you don't catch them tonight, you're going to have to wait over a week to see them. They will be out of town. They head to Tacoma for a four-game stint there. They'll be in Salt Lake, the team they're playing tonight, over the next weekend. And then they're back on the 23rd to play one of the top teams in the Pacific Coast League. Matter of fact, one of the top teams in AAA baseball, the El Paso Chihuahua, is one of my favorite logos, man. The Angry Chihuahua, it's hard to beat that one. And when they come back in town, they will be in town. And I believe they're only in town for a quick three-game stint, and then they go back to El Paso in a home-and-home series. But the cool thing is, while they're in town, it's a Tuesday, Wednesday, and $2 Modelo night at Las Vegas. Bob, lying, it's not Modelo, but it is $2 beer night, and Jose will take it. That is the Las Vegas Aviators report, and that is brought to you by the Las Vegas Aviators. I was going to say they're out of this world, but that would be the 51s logo. But, I still am in hope that the Aviators will, like, change uniforms. I love the team, and they've been sponsoring the show, and they're great. You call it what it is. Their uniforms look like they could be improved upon. I mean, I always said my least favorite uniforms in the history of sports, those long time ago, if you remember the San Diego Padres uniforms, they were about as ugly as it got. And remember those Houston Astros uniforms? You had to put on sunglasses to look in them.
Were they worse?
You have to Google the history of
worst uniform of all time. Are the Pittsburgh Steelers in there?
Oh my God! The Bumblebees,
they got to be in the top five.
They were.
What about the Tampa Bay Bucks?
They were. I don't know what it was with the what was the color? Not teal.
It's like creamsicle.
Creamsicle color. Yeah, it was awful tough orange. To see a guy like Leroy Selman wearing that type of jersey. They were history. I mean, Doug Williams couldn't play in that jersey, and as soon as he went to Washington, he wins a Super Bowl. Yeah. Figure that out.
Steve Young started his career there and then won a Super Bowl with the Niners.
Top five best and worst uniforms of all time. We got to make with professional sports only. Top five best and worst uniforms of all time. We're going to make a list. Let's put it on a poll.
Three quarterbacks that won a Super Bowl that started their career there. Trent Dilfer started his career there, won a Super Bowl with Baltimore.
Steve Young,
and then Doug Williams.
Well, Steve Young technically was an LA Express in the USFL.
You're right, correct.
But he did play there first, and it almost ruined his career. He went and played behind Joe Montana for a few years and got the monkey off his back against San Diego in that Super Bowl. But, those uniforms were very tough to stomach. But I will say this. I didn't like the uniforms, but I did like the helmets. The old Buccaneer with the knife in his mouth.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of cool. Like the pewter helmets now, I've never been completely sold on. I like the older ones, but the uniforms definitely.
They should have kept the logo and just changed the colors.
That would have worked because the colors were really, really bad. I mean, honestly, the Detroit Lions should wear those colors. Anyways, let's move on to the next. What I want to talk about, NBA Summer League, guys. I made it out there yesterday. I haven't been out there as much as I would like this year. I've been really busy with the other gig, and there's just so much to do in Vegas with sports and things going on. But the NBA Summer League, what might be coolest about the NBA Summer League is, you know, probably on each of these teams, Caleb, there's maybe three guys top that will be in the NBA
right.
on the specific team. I mean, it is a instructional league. It is an opportunity to showcase your talent, but a lot of times you're showcasing your talent for, at best, the G League, and a lot of times for European basketball. But you still see some good play. You still see some stars, like, you know, you'll see a guy like Zion play for 9 minutes. You know. But no, I'm just kidding. I mean, I know we all knew he wasn't going to be playing for a long time.
Yeah, no doubt.
What the NBA Summer League is, it is who's who. You see LeBron James sitting next to Anthony Davis at one game. You see Floyd Mayweather with his bodyguard that's arms are bigger than both of Caleb's legs put together. Mm-hmm. I mean, these are. But the cool thing is, you see the who's who. All these NBA players come in. NBA owners, you see guys like Mark Davis show up. You know, he's at all the Aces games.
Every game.
But he shows up at the WNBA, at the NBA Summer League. So it really is a spectacle to go see this.
It absolutely is. Like you said, the who's who, getting to see. I mean, I remember last year when LeBron made his debut with those sick Lakers shorts, and everybody instantly went on the internet and tried to find them, but couldn't because they're super exclusive. But no, that like stuff like that happens at NBA Summer League, no doubt. It's another opportunity. Yeah, I did. The hat he had too was pretty dope. I'm like, dude, this guy is all things LA.
How do you top it?
It's crazy. But no, like all these things that happen, of course, on the side of the court, but for development of players also, one of the things that I think it serves as is a buffer kind of for those fringe players who maybe have a chance in the NBA or maybe not, maybe won't pan out, to have kind of a buffer between this was college, you were in college or you were in high school, and you're transitioning now to this grown man's league, albeit NBA Summer League is a whole different can of worms. It is a one step above college basketball, and you can tell the difference between college and Summer League. So it's a little bit of a buffer to get these young guys, because it just seems like the average age of the NBA player is getting younger and younger. But, you know, these 19, 20-year-old kids.
Sometimes, though, you're right. These young kids, it is the buffer.
Yeah.
But you sometimes, kids emerge.
Absolutely.
Like, the bottom line is a guy like Kyle Kuzma.
That's where I was going, obviously, as a Laker fan. Kyle Kuzma got this emergence from this summer.
100%.
Nobody was talking about him 100%. Before Summer League. And Josh Hart also got an emergence from this. He makes the Lakers roster because of what he did in Summer League.
No question.
I mean, he was the MVP of Summer League last year. So it's like one of those things. One guy that it didn't work out for is Fee Mikhailuk, who had an awesome Summer League and then just didn't pan out professionally. Well, as of yet, we haven't seen what he's got traded to the Pistons.
And
Piston,
you get other guys that hang on and keep getting shots. One of the tragedies of UNLV basketball, and I'll say a tragedy, you can go and watch him in his sweats, because he'll be wearing his sweats for the Pelicans, but he hasn't gotten on the floor very much, and that's Christian Wood.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a guy that, again, that I just think was misrepresented. I think Big Zim was misrepresented.
Yeah.
And when I say misrepresented, I mean getting filled up with people that say, because you're 6'10" or 7 feet tall, you're a shoo-in to make the NBA.
And
unfortunately, 6'10" and 7 foot guys now have perimeter games in the NBA. They can dribble the ball up the floor. They can play inside, outside. They can hit from the baseline. I mean, it's no longer just because the bottom line is,
and you make it.
Yeah,
that's not the formula anymore.
No, the NBA is not a back to your basket game anymore.
And I will say this too about the NBA. I think, among other things, like the international game, I think the NBA is getting this right. The NBA and basketball in general is not a one and done deal. And by that I mean the NFL, if you don't make it to the NFL, it's very, very, very difficult to keep a career or a way of life or provisions for your family alive if you don't make it to the NFL. The NBA Summer League and the G League and the international game, the things that that basketball has done, keep the sport alive even if you don't make the NBA. So these G League guys now, it's not as good as it could be, I think.
But you can carve out a career,
a lifestyle, and keep hope alive for the sport.
Absolutely.
Without making it to, how many guys were dominant players in college in football and because they didn't make the NFL, we didn't hear anything from them again. They're gone.
They might be trickled throughout the Canadian Football League or something.
But outside of that, I mean, Johnny Manziel, right, for instance, like right now, his way of living is probably over as far as making it through football.
No, he's doing pretty good. He sells narcotics now.
Now? When did y'all stop?
Now? This is not new. Come on. This is not a new thing.
I've been following this guy for the last couple years.
Johnny Football is carving out a career in narcotics. There's nothing wrong with that.
He's handing out narco with autographs.
You got to do what you got to do. The Raiders are coming to town. I mean, at one point, they took a chance on Todd Marinovich. Why not? I mean, you know.
Are you excited for Hard Knocks? Speaking of the Raiders,
it's going to be interesting. It's going to be good TV.
I'm just
telling you right now, and I'm saying this, and I've made a lot of predictions, and I am telling you, okay, I'm telling you, Derek Carr is not the answer. And if you think that he is, you're going to be gravely disappointed. I think that the bottom line is because of the money they paid him, that Gruden's got to stick with him this year. And he's definitely, but if he doesn't figure it out again this year, like he had 2 years ago before the knee injury, he's going to be done soon.
I disagree with you.
And here's the thing, Jose. That year when he had his coming out party and he really seemed to get it and the game seemed to slow down for me. Caleb, you're very familiar with the game slowing down. You come from high school to college and it's like, oh my God, the speed is incredible.
Yep.
College to the NFL and you got to go to camp. It's like every guy, linemen are running as fast as defensive backs in the National Football League. These are the things that you have you've got to morph into.
Yep.
So the bottom line is, it is a huge, huge step, right?
He can get it done if the weight of the world is not on his arm. I think they got to have a running game. They got to have something else as an answer to him if he's not sure.
But my point is, they figured out Derek Carr after that year, and he hasn't played the same since. Listen, we're out of time. This is Out of Line. I'm Brian Feldman. I want to thank Caleb Herring, Jose Vellante, Nick Nice, and Albert Haynesworth. Hopefully, we'll get him on next week. 8 to 9 every Sunday morning. We're right here. Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM. See ya.